I hate you. Anyways, what's up?
What up, what up, what up?
This is episode 2 of Small Town Terrors. Fun little story. Episode 2 is going to be on urban legends and creepypastas, but that file was corrupted, so...
Now we have to re-record it later.
Yeah, and we decided to go with another one that we recorded, which was really awful. The sound quality was terrible, so re-recording that now as well.
And it's been that kind of a day for us.
It really has been. Yeah. It's pretty shitty.
So sorry this is late.
Yeah, this is definitely late. This is supposed to be up at 6. It is now 7:19.
And we still have to edit.
Yeah, this isn't going to be up until at least like 10 or 11.
Yeah.
But it will be up, so...
Yeah, so help me God.
Yeah, so help me God. Anyways, to start, we are talking about horror movie franchises.
The big names.
The best of the best.
And more recent ones.
Yes. Still the best of the best, though.
As well as a fan favorite or two.
Yeah, these are pure opinion-based. There's nothing... We're not claiming to be...
Critics.
Hootie-hoos. We don't know everything. We're just talking about our opinions here and what makes or breaks these horror franchises.
220-something shooting the shit about movies.
That's all it is. I have no idea what you just said. Do you want to say that again?
220-somethings shooting the shit about horror movies.
I like that. Let's talk about Halloween!
The grandfather, the grandpoobah, the big daddy of the genre.
Yeah. In my opinion, it will always be the daddy.
Michael fucking Myers. That yeah. Strange son of a bitch.
I love him.
He's great.
I want to be a Michael Myers groupie.
Mood. But how would you describe Halloween? One sentence.
Am I describing this to someone that knows nothing about Halloween, or just... A normal person that probably knows something about Halloween.
Just a normal person. An overview of your opinion and what you think the movie has to offer. The series.
Okay, I don't know if I can do one sentence, but I'll do 3 words.
Murder.
Titties. Yeah, I got it. That's all I got.
I was straight up about to start singing the Kahoot theme.
That's so funny.
That's all I got.
Yeah, murders and titties.
Murder and titties. If I could add, I'd add, soundtrack. It's iconic. Yes.
The sound effects.
I love it. The soundtrack.
Whoever did that shit, glorious.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. A soundtrack makes or breaks a movie, and Halloween soundtrack makes it.
Definitely. Halloween soundtrack is... Grand Poobah of soundtracks. I don't even know what that means.
It was the best horror movie soundtrack ever. Yeah, the first horror movie to really make use of the soundtrack, other than Psycho.
I'm sure there's plenty of other ones. Probably. I'm not sure I would say that.
Probably.
Because I've seen a lot of those old babies.
But there are
the real OGs.
None more iconic than those two. You hear the Psycho Stab music, and you know what it is. Yeah. You hear the Halloween theme, and you know what it is.
Yeah.
It's been parodied in pop culture for generations now.
And it will continue to be.
It should be. It's great.
Even if just by us.
I'd like to share a comparison that we made of Michael Myers recently, which is to say that he's like a jellyfish. He doesn't really seem to operate with a lot of mental capacity. He doesn't really seem to use his brain all that much. He's not really aware of his surroundings, and the only real time he interacts with anyone is to kill them. He doesn't really talk. He doesn't really share ideas. There is no obvious indication outside of him killing that he's even alive.
No.
A lot like how jellyfish don't have brains. And... He kind of seems to exist on a soul instinct to kill. He doesn't kill because he's angry. He doesn't kill for revenge. He doesn't kill because he enjoys it. There's just something in him telling him that he has to kill. And he just does it because he doesn't seem to have a sense of morals or even a concept of morals.
I mean, I think that's the basic description of a psychopath. I mean, aside from not having a brain and operating on strictly... Fuck, what'd you say?
Instinct.
Yeah, instinct. I think it's a little... For psychopaths, the difference would be that it's not instinctual, it's... Something caused that break in the brain.
It's emotional, yeah. Usually.
Usually it is emotional. Some type of abuse or trauma that triggered that shift in the brain, and that's what happened. And I don't think that happened with Michael. He was just like this from the beginning.
He was just naturally born to kill, and he doesn't know anything else. Kind of like how jellyfish operates. They don't really do anything because they're not cognizant. They just kind of float around, eat, shit, and kill things.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what Michael does.
Pretty much. I mean, we've never actually seen him eat, so...
He might not.
Maybe he doesn't eat. Maybe he's just a monster.
Yeah. I mean, who fucking knows? But I love jellyfish. They're one of my favorite sea animals. So obviously Michael Myers is one of my favorite killers.
Michael Myers... If I could be murdered by any of the classics, it'd be Michael.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. Oh, no. Do we consider Saw classic?
Yeah.
Then yes, I'd prefer Saw.
See, that would mean I'd have to have done something bad enough to deserve to be in Saw. And I don't want that.
But I mean, then again, I'm sure that you could consider a lot of the things that have been done by me in my life worthy of... being in a Saw game, considering some of the things that they were in there for.
Yeah? I mean...
Some of them were very, like, passive evils.
I prefer to try and live life not as an asshole, even though that just kind of just so happens to be what I am. And that just happens. But I try not to be, sometimes. So I feel like I'd want to be Michael because then I'd know that someone wasn't watching me that whole time and that someone didn't know my life. I don't want that. I don't want anyone to know my life enough to punish me for it.
Valid.
At least with Michael, it's just a random wrong place, wrong time. For most people, unless you're the main cast and he's actively chasing you.
Yeah.
Which doesn't really happen to many people.
I feel like I prefer Saw simply just because it... I'm a slut for personalized things, and that's a death that's literally customized specifically to me.
Yeah.
And I am so curious as to what my trap would be. I want to know what that setup is. I want to know what flaw of mine he's going to decide is the worst.
I want to know what he's going to exploit.
Exactly. I want to know what he thinks of me. I want to hear that opinion.
You know what? You're right. I'd want to hear that too. But the thought of him following me around and learning about my mistakes and all that shit, like, ooh.
That's essentially what it's been like me living with you.
Yeah.
You realize that, right? Yeah. It's the exact same thing. It's someone following me around and living with me, and then just finding out every single mistake I make, and then just grilling me for them.
Yeah, well.
It's the same thing.
It happens when you leave chicken on the counter for 4 hours.
Halloween's one of our favorite, like, franchise classic horror movies. The most recent one we saw in theaters, it was awesome. Check it out.
So good.
It's so good.
The only disappointing thing was they didn't have the sound effect.
Yeah, they didn't have the stab sound effect.
But they had the theme music.
But they had the theme music, and that's a saving grace.
Yeah, it is. It was so good. We've seen it like 3 times already.
True. Next up, Final Destination. Yeah. Personal favorite.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like Final Destination and Saw are the same kind of classic. I feel like they're like tier two.
Yeah. 2000s, late 90s type thing.
Yeah. Because like Halloween, Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, those, Children of the Corn, those are like babes.
Those are like 80s, like older.
Those are tier one.
Those have been around for a long ass time. They were the inventors of the genres.
I wouldn't say that. But I feel like 80s was the slasher... 80s was the pinnacle of slashers.
Yes.
It's where it all came to fruition. That is where I feel like I would say that the genre was not born, but blossomed. Definitely blossomed in the 80s.
Valid.
Maybe 70s.
It created what we culturally consider to be the absolute basics of horror.
Yeah. It's not true, and unfortunately most people think the 80s was the beginning of, not the beginning of horror, but that's when it became relevant. And in my opinion, I don't think that's true. I think it became relevant back in the fucking 30s when Dracula came out. Like, that shit was... That's God tier.
Four's a classic movie nerd who's obsessed with movies from the 20s, 30s, 40s, of every genre.
Yeah, not just horror.
I'm not.
Why?
I've seen like maybe three or four.
Okay, but do you not like them, or do you just, or is it not your cup of tea, like, or have you just not had the opportunity?
It's a mixture between me just not knowing which are worth watching.
Mm-hmm.
And me not often being in the mood for something so old-fashioned.
I get like that with 80s movies.
Like, I get like that with 80s movies, too. I'm just not in
the
mood
for the scream, their weird screams, their weird yelling, their
bad acting.
The bad acting, yeah. But the weird hairstyles, sometimes I'm just not feeling it.
Yeah. Period stuff's weird like that.
Yeah.
But Final Destination, I'd definitely say, is a modern classic.
Yeah, I mean, love it.
It's been over 10, 15 years since it first came out. Jesus fucking Christ.
Jesus.
And everybody knows it.
Yeah.
It's a modern classic.
Final Destination. We've seen every single one of them at least, like, 3 times.
Yep.
They're so good.
They still scare us.
Oh, yeah. They still scare me. Like, it doesn't matter how many times I've watched it. It doesn't matter what time of day. It doesn't matter with whom or without whom I'm watching it with. It scares me. It freaks me out. Like, I mean, was it the second or third one that was the roller coaster?
Third, I think.
Yeah, that one scared me off of roller coasters for at least, I think it was a year or two. I wouldn't ride roller coasters, and I fucking love roller coasters.
Final Destination has this amazing thing that a lot of critics, I think, didn't really care for, because there were a lot of things in the movie that was lacking, but
oh, yeah.
It did one thing that most other movies I haven't seen do, and most other movies that I have seen try have failed, which is to set up a constant sense of anxiety and tension so bad that you know something, that you think something bad is going to happen even when it's not.
Yeah.
Like, you are constantly expecting things to go wrong. And as two people like us with chronic anxiety, it is extra effective.
Yeah.
It's so terrifying to just sit there and be like, God, when's it gonna happen? Because you know it's gonna happen.
You just don't know when it's gonna happen.
Or how it's gonna happen.
Yeah. Some of those deaths are fucking insane. And it's always like a weird chain of events that totally could, that are totally plausible.
Oh yeah.
But you'd never think that that would happen.
It's completely realistic in showing that everything around us is dangerous. We're just around it so often that we forget.
Yeah.
We forget that we can fucking fall off our balconies at any fucking moment.
Yeah.
We just don't.
We forget that we can trip on a cord and fucking impale ourselves on something lying on the floor. Forget that you could accidentally
stick your hand down the disposal and gut up your hand.
Yeah, gut up your hand?
Yes.
I don't like the sound of that.
Die mad about it.
There is so many ways to die.
There's so many.
It's terrifying.
It's such a profound sense of anxiety, and it sticks with you.
Yeah, definitely.
And it feels so inescapable and inevitable.
And it is.
It's dread is what it is. And dread is essentially one of the biggest building blocks for a good psychological horror movie.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
And Final Destination does that right, regardless of what else they might do wrong.
Regardless of the bad acting and the shitty effects and the
plot holes occasionally.
The
plot holes,
the predictability of it all.
It does give you a sense of dread, and that was the entire point.
I have not been able to find another movie that gives me that amount of dread.
Nope.
Like, I just haven't.
It's a great one.
Yeah. Especially, every single one of them is good. Every single one of them is, like, just a little bit different, and I like that.
Yeah.
Because you can still sit down and watch something that you really don't have to pay your entire attention to, but and you still know what's going to happen, but you can watch it, and you are going to be a little like, ooh, that's different, or ooh, that's new, or I see that's where it differed, and it's not the same exact copy and paste plot.
Especially watch the roller coaster one. And I like that it has, like, a little bit of a plot that you can follow throughout the movies.
Yeah.
Like, they reference the old events in there. They do point out that in this universe, yeah, it would be really weird to have this happen 6, 7, 8 different times.
Yeah.
And that people would go back and look and see if this had happened before.
Yeah. And I like, they do, they take that into account. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, at the end, does it not tie, like, directly around, like, in a nice little circle?
I think it does.
I'm pretty sure it does. Like, everyone's dead.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. From the beginning. Because, essentially, in the last few movies, they start to realize that they are only alive because of the people in the first movie dying the way they did. Mm-hmm. And when they did, not when they were supposed to. Mm-hmm. So it becomes death literally just trying to fix this accident that has changed literally everything.
Yeah.
It's very interesting to see how they decide to tie in all the characters together and how they interfere with each other throughout the movies.
Yeah. I really like what they did with Final Destination. Now, if only they could have made Paranormal Activity as good as they made Final Destination.
God. Paranormal Activity. We'll get to that one. Next on the list is Friday the 13th. Classic, yes. Jason.
Who doesn't love Jason Voorhees? Killer, mommy, killer.
Awful.
Okay, you gotta admit, that whole relationship between the mom and Jason, like, was kind of creepy. That was, like, borderline, like, uncomfortable.
It was super codependent and obsessive.
Yeah. And I know that that's pretty normal, codependency and obsessive relationships, but, like, I mean, you know, psycho. But, like, there was just something weird about those two. And how she continued that rage for so long. And
it was almost as if Jason was the only thing she had in her life at all. Like, she didn't have a husband, she didn't have the opportunity of other kids, she didn't even have any hobbies, she just had her child, and that was it.
Yeah. And it seems like it was like that before he died. Mm-hmm. And it's even more so after he died. And it's kind of sad that she couldn't move on from that. That mm-hmm. she was obsessed with revenge, and that, you know, it almost feels like she made him angry. Like, she made his spirit, like, you know how in some horror movies that spirits become spirits because of the anger and the hatred and the hurt? That's why when they have unfinished business, when they're murdered and shit like that, they come through and they're like, yo, that's not cool. And they're angry. But it feels like Jason's mom's anger was feeding into him and making him, like, stronger. Oh, like, yeah. I don't know if that's true. I doubt that's even something they thought of, or I feel like I'm just pulling at strings because I'm high as fuck right now. But
no, I definitely think that was set up on purpose, that his ghost rose because of the fact that his mom cannot let him go. He came back, and obviously this is just fan theory, but
oh, yeah, totally fan theory.
He came back essentially because he saw how pissed off his mom was. And when you're a kid, especially a kid who died as young as Jason, mm-hmm. the only thing that matters to you, assuming that you have, especially in a codependent relationship, but even in just like a healthy relationship as a kid, the only thing that really matters is your parents. And if your parents are upset, that's automatically going to make you extremely upset.
Yeah.
I think it definitely fed into his anger and his strength.
Yeah. And obviously, that theory low-key went out the window after she was murdered.
Oh, yeah.
And it continued, but I think it's still solid for that first movie. You see that kind of relationship in a lot of places. I mean, the first thing coming to mind is that episode of Supernatural with that little boy.
Mm-hmm.
When he died, his mom couldn't let him go. And so
or Bobby.
Yeah, so they were sticking around.
Balls. Fucking love Bobby.
Me at Balls from Motionless.
Oh, he's so hot. Chris Motionless, him. Break my back.
Same. Me at Balls.
Anyways.
Yeah, anyways.
And with a supernatural logic, you can see the theory makes a little bit more sense, actually, because with that anger and that vengeance inside him, well, according to Supernatural, once a ghost gets that far into it, they no longer have the ability to stop themselves. They don't have any self-control, so he can't stop being a ghost just because his mom died. Yeah. It's just going to keep going and going and going and going until someone can get rid of him.
And yeah, and after a certain point in Supernatural, once you are that angry and that hard, you're not that person anymore. All you are is anger. All you are is violence and your
hatred.
Yeah, hatred. There's nothing left of you. And I think that if you applied that to Jason, Friday the 13th, I think him being a ghost and coming back, I think that makes a lot more sense than him just being alive again.
But it still begs the question of how does he have a physical body then? Because they are still killing him over and over again.
They are.
He just keeps coming back.
Yeah, there's no, I feel like there's not an answer to that.
There isn't. And they know it. I want to see the writers come to a convention and have someone raise their hand and say, how does Jason keep coming back with a physical form?
How?
Explain it to me.
But it's not like he's possessing someone else. It's not like same he's body. Possessing people. It's the same body every time.
Because it always has the scars all over it.
It's always warped and mangled and oof.
And the same fucked up face.
Yeah.
So, like, please explain that to me.
You know, in the... Jason was the one with... that. It was Jason in that one with Sam, right?
Yes.
Okay. In that one, there was that point of... And I feel like now that I'm thinking about it, I feel like I've thought about this... I've seen it in a couple Friday the 13th movies, where Jason gets attached to people. Like, obviously a girl. It's always a girl. And he gets attached to them, and it always ends up being the final girl.
Yeah, and it always has something to do with him seeing them as his mother. And then when they behave like his mother and are stern with him, it always works.
He's always like, whoa, what the fuck? And I think that also feeds into the fact that there must be that little kid inside that ghost. Like, there's got to be something left still of that kid.
Yeah.
Because if he had turned into some raging, no feelings, fucking wall that killed people, that wouldn't happen. He wouldn't be attached to that. And he also, in his old cabin, he has, like, the keepsakes and everything. Like, he still has stuff. So, like, it's almost as if Jason, after his mom died, just kind of took it. It just, killing people just kind of became his thing. Like, he's not doing it because he's pissed. He's not doing it because he's angry. It's just, he doesn't really have anything else to do. And that's kind of just his thing.
He doesn't know what else to do.
Yeah.
I think, in a sense. And
that's all he has.
And I think the reason he keeps going is to find that replacement mother figure to complete the fantasy of them back before they had both died.
Yeah.
And he keeps not getting it.
I hope that happens. Because maybe, like, if a girl gave him a chance and, like,
he'd be able to move on.
Yeah, give him a chance to, tell him to stop killing everybody and, you know, give him that childlike care again. Maybe just a little bit of that would be able to, you know, send him off. He can finally be at rest. Because you have to think about the fact that this is still a little kid. This is a child. He was bullied and in fucking neglected, but not by his mom, but by everybody else. And, like, he didn't have any friends, and all he had was his mom, and then he was just fucking died.
And he died at someone else's negligence.
Yeah.
Someone was supposed to be taking care of him, and they didn't.
Yeah, someone was supposed to be there, and they weren't. And I totally get him coming back from revenge after that.
He was failed in multiple different aspects.
And it's really fucking sad.
Yeah.
It's depressing, and, you know, especially, you know, being a neglected kid, like, you relate to that. And then seeing it in my favorite genre, horror, obviously. Like, bitch, that makes me want to come back and fucking murder everyone.
Mood. Haunt our old high school.
Yeah, fuck it.
Jason, our old high school.
Let's do it.
It'll become the new Crystal Lake.
Oh, God. I'm here for that.
the next movie we have on the list, because we've already been talking about this for a while.
Yeah, we gotta...
And if we keep going, we're just gonna keep going.
Yeah, we can talk about this for ages.
The next one is Saw.
Yes!
Another personal favorite of ours.
Yes. Honestly, all of these are personal favorites of mine. Valid. Except for Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Not a huge fan of that. Unpopular opinion. Anyways, Saw. Jigsaw, my man. What's good? How you been?
Our favorite band, I Sang Kills, has an album called The Silver Scream, and each song of it is based off of a well-known horror movie. For example, one of the songs they have is Stabbing in the Dark, based off of Halloween, or The Jig is Up, based off of Saw. Thank God It's Friday for Friday the 13th. So yeah, we'll mention them as the movies pop up in the conversations, and you should check them out. The music videos and the songs are all super cool. They're usually written from the villain's perspective, which is really interesting.
Yeah, I think that's my favorite part about them, is that he does write them from the villain's perspective. Because through all of these movies, our perspective is through the victims, which is great, and that's really what, you know, gives you horror. But I really like when select horror movies, horror books, music, anything like that can give me the perspective of the killer. Like, that one movie, You Might Be the Killer, with the guy with the mask.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, every horror movie ever. No, in that movie, there's a guy that has... What is he doing? I don't even fucking remember what he's doing. But he's... At some point, a masked man is killing people around him. And he realizes that he might be the killer.
Yeah.
And
it's a very fun movie.
It's fun, yeah. It's interesting.
This realization occurs while over the phone with one of his friends who works at a movie video store.
Yeah, she's like low-key goth.
Yeah, and adorable. She's just kind of like, have you stopped to consider that maybe you're the killer? And he's like...
What the fuck?
You know what? I didn't stop to consider that.
And then he realizes that he is. And when he's like trying to like stop and fix it and everything, that's when the other people realize he might be the killer too.
Yeah, it just goes to shit.
Yeah, it's confusing, but it's not confusing actually. It's just a really good movie and it's really interesting and I think it's unique. And I'm not really big into horror comedy, but
neither am I.
I liked that.
Yeah,
I liked
that was good. Movie. It was clever.
Yeah, it was clever. It wasn't, like, hilarious, like, scary movie. It was just clever and interesting.
That's what I like in my comedy. I like clever.
Yeah. Because sometimes horror comedy can just be a bit much. Like, I don't even really care for, what's that? Tuck and Dale versus Evil, shit like that. I like Zombieland.
Zombieland's pretty good.
I don't really care for horror comedy, but you should check that movie out. Anyways, back to Ice Nine Kills. Just check out the whole band. The whole band's really good. The lead singer's really fucking hot.
Oh, yeah.
And we saw them in concert once, and it was fucking amazing.
It was awesome.
So, yeah, check out the Silver Scream album. If you are a fan of horror, you'll be a fan of that. Horror and metal. They are metal
bands. They are a metal band. Should specify that.
Yeah. You don't want you to...
Get surprised.
Yeah. Though, honestly, if you think about it, I don't know what other genre of music could do that.
Grunge, maybe like, indie.
Yeah, maybe, I was gonna say maybe indie alternative.
You're not gonna get a pop song about it. No. Or country song.
Anyways, check that album out. Yes, we are in love, so we're gonna promote it. You'll probably hear us talk about it a few times.
Yeah, we love it. It's great. It's our soundtrack.
But their song about Saw is really interesting.
Oh, yeah.
That little spoken part in the middle.
It's definitely, the song definitely points out one of our favorite things about the Saw franchise, which is the entire concept and sense of morality behind the movies.
Yeah.
They really give you a sense of not really being sure of who you should be rooting for. Because a lot of the people that are suffering in the movies are people that have done wrong. But the person inflicting the suffering is inflicting such a massive amount of suffering that it's hard to say that he's in the right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the extent to which he goes is the debatable part. But you have to admit that looking at some of these people, not all of them, some of them, do deserve it. They do deserve a kick in the ass to be like, yo, you're living your life pretty awfully, and can you do what it takes?
Yeah, I definitely think the movie definitely presents a very morally gray area. Because everyone loves the idea of justice, and everyone loves the idea of setting wrongs right. And everyone loves the idea that they have what it takes to survive.
Mm-hmm.
Or that doing awful things is surviving.
Yeah.
And the movie really challenges some of those beliefs, but also sticks to the more important ones that we hold, such as our sense of justice.
Yeah.
These people have been awful. These people have taken things for advantage. People, jobs, opportunities, everything. And any person who's been through anything knows that whenever we see people like that, we kind of want to give them a kick in the ass.
Yeah, definitely. Although, I mean, there are a few of his quote-unquote victims. I didn't really care for the fact that they had to be in there. Like that one girl who couldn't leave her abusive husband. I don't think that that's punishable, that she wasn't able to do that. And I think that occurs with, like, one or two other people. But I think he does a good job of what he wants to do, which is get you to not take your life for granted.
And I think in the more controversial ones, like the wife who couldn't leave an abusive husband, he's less trying to punish her and more of a, you could almost call it an extreme version of tough love. Of, mm-hmm. like, if you can't bring yourself to leave this man, you're already as good as dead.
Yeah.
Do you get that?
And I think in that one, particular one, she had to choose between her and him.
Mm-hmm.
And that is completely fine, because he deserved his death. I think the result was good, but I'm not sure that she would have been a choice of mine.
Yeah. And there is a lot of moral grayness to certain situations that they do. For example, like, the one where he has the woman who works for health insurance policies, who works to deny people's claims, and he makes her cut off her arm. You could argue that she was just doing what she had to do to get herself by, to get her paycheck to survive. She didn't choose whether or not the policy could be denied or not. That's not really her place.
I
think it was a guy who did that. You're right. And then he was up against a woman.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the girl did. But situations like that, you could say that it's not their fault. And I think it really comes down to a personal belief of how far people are able to go and how far they should.
Yeah. I think, though, with that particular one, the health insurance denier guy, they showed a clip of him. In the movie, there was a scene with him denying that guy's care. And he was very mean about it. He was very, well, like, oh, it's not my fucking fault. Like, this sucks to be you.
It's just like, how it is.
He was a dick about it. And you could tell that he enjoyed his job. And it's that kind of awfulness. Like, taking joy in someone else's suffering is what he was doing. And I think that was perfectly, that wasn't gray for me. That was black and white. But you can either get through or you can die. And I think for the more awful people, like that one skinhead that was glued to his car. Having to rip his entirety of his skin. Like, that's terrifying. But he only had 30 seconds to do it. And I think that was almost setting him up for failure. Because there's no way he was going to be able to do that in 30 seconds. And also, he didn't deserve to get away from it. He's a fucking skinhead.
And another thing I do like about the movies, I had forgotten about that scene showing that he was a dick.
Mm.
So, amend my statement. He was a dick and he deserved it. But I like the sense of irony in a lot of the traps that he sets.
Yeah.
Like with the skinhead, obviously he's a racist, so what's important to him is his skin color. Well, we all bleed black when you take off our skin, so yeah. I'm going to take off your skin and show you firsthand.
Yeah. That's so cool.
Or the rapist who would take photos of underage girls and having to poke his own eyes out so he could never look at an underage girl again.
Yeah.
I love the sense of irony in taking away what it is that caused that person to fuck up in the first place.
Yeah.
You couldn't look at the right things. You purposely chose to look at things that hurt people, so now you don't get to look at anything.
you did something wrong with this thing that you had, so I'm going to take this thing away. And I like that it's either death or not being able to do
whatever it was that got you stuck here in the first place.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. And especially in cases where, like, putting other people in the traps rather than the person you're testing. Because I think it says some... First of all, it gives a good sense of mixing it up to the movies.
Yeah, true, yeah.
But also, in a lot of cases, like the one where it's the police officer going through and deciding who lives or dies, it is a test in and of itself for that person. And I think the way that that was created is extremely clever. This mm-hmm. person who's so hell-bent on saving everybody, obviously he's going to be able to give up what he needs to save someone else, but can he give up something that does not belong to him, someone else's life, to yeah. save someone?
Yeah.
Can he make these hard decisions that he needs to be able to make? Can he give up this constant need to be a martyr and save everybody?
Yeah.
Can he realize that some people just can't be saved or some people don't deserve to be?
Yeah. Take it back to the beginning, that... the Saw movie where they're two men, and it's two men, right? In that room, locked in that room.
Yes.
And the guy has fucking saw his leg off.
And cauterize it.
Yeah, but you don't see him. I don't think you see him cauterize it till the next movie, right? Because I don't remember seeing that in the first one.
I haven't seen the first one in years, so I can't remember.
I feel like that one was simply based of, can you do this thing to survive?
It was kind of a test run for him. What are people willing to do to survive? Yeah. And what are people capable of when that's their only option?
Yeah. And that was like that, because that was the beginning of Jigsaw. That was the beginning of his tests. That was the beginning of the whole thing. And I really liked the way the characters in the beginning, like the first few movies, tie into the rest of the movies. Even when you don't know it. You can go back and look, and you might catch a little hint or two here and there, but it's not one of those movies where you watch once, you understand the ending, and then you watch it again, and you're like, that's, you know, that ties them in. You don't really see it.
It's not very, a lot of, like, foreshadowing.
Yeah, it's very behind the scenes, so that it's that much more surprising. Like, obviously, it's satisfying to go back and watch it a second time and see all of the hints, but I think it's cool when there's just no way to tell. Because it's still probable, it's still believable that that's how that person is involved, but we don't see it. And so because we don't see it, we're just like, whoa, that's crazy. Like, I would never have expected that. But it makes sense. It's not like there's a plot hole or something.
Yeah, and I think as long as they make sure it makes sense, like Saw did.
Mm-hmm. And Saw did every single time they introduced a character like that.
Yeah, they made it make a lot of sense why the character was there, why they were involved, and how they were involved.
Yeah.
And I think when done correctly like that, it's cool not to leave the little hints.
Mm-hmm.
Because it shows you that the writers were thinking about this and paying attention about this all the way back then. And that they didn't forget about it. They didn't just forget that a character existed 3 movies ago. They kept track of everyone and everything, and they created a whole universe and then decided where each of these people needs to be at which point.
Yeah.
I think it shows a lot of world building, and I like that. I like good world building.
Same. Anyways, we should move on. Chucky is next.
Child's Play.
Yes, Child's Play. I'm sorry.
I remember the first time I watched Child's Play.
Chucky was the very first horror movie I ever saw. I saw it when I was 6 years old. I was watching it in my aunt's bedroom with my cousin. And we were watching it on this one of these little, like, square TVs that had the 2 antennas at the top. And, like, it had a VCR, like, built into it.
Mm-hmm. Weird. Rachel had one of those TVs when she was younger.
Yeah, it was my cousin's. And I was just like, dude, this is so cool. And we watched Chucky. And I think that's why, to this day, it's still creepy to me. I still don't like dolls.
I've definitely found that when you watch a scary movie when you're younger, even when you're older and it's not as scary to you anymore, it's still scary.
Me at the End of the Line.
Yeah.
Like, that movie is very obviously not scary. It is very obviously horrible.
I wouldn't even say it's horrible. I'd just say it's just plain bad. It's like, there's horrible. There's nothing amazingly bad about it. It's just bad.
It's horrible. It's horribly made. It's horribly produced. It's horribly written. It's horrible effects. It's horrible. It's a pretty horrible storyline.
And I will say that song is creepy as hell.
Yeah.
The soundtrack writers did a good job with that movie.
The music was on point.
The music was on point.
At least that specific song was. I don't really remember the rest of the soundtrack.
It had a decent soundtrack. I think it's definitely super important for people to get that kind of stuff right.
Mm-hmm. But Chucky had some tunes.
Oh, yeah.
Chucky had some tunes.
Chucky had a decent soundtrack. Chucky had a really interesting voice actors, too, which I think also plays into it.
Very charismatic in the voice.
Yeah.
Which is important when your main protagonist, or your main antagonist, is an inanimate object. Or is originally an inanimate object.
And I love that Chucky's voice really does sound exactly like the dirtbag that you expect. Like, he's everything that the 80s didn't want around their children.
Yeah.
He swears, he smokes, he drinks, he gambles, he steals, he's a gang member, he's a biker, he's very sexual, he's a scumbag. And the voice actor did such an amazing job of making him sound exactly like how I'd expect a scumbag to sound like.
Yeah.
And unlike a lot of the killers we've mentioned so far, Michael Myers, Jason, even Jigsaw, they don't really have a lot of personality.
Mm-hmm.
It's especially in the case of Jason and Michael. But even with, like, Jigsaw, like, he's very, like, all-knowing God type. So yeah. He doesn't have a lot of character development.
The only development you really get with Jigsaw is the bad things that have made him into
what he is.
Jigsaw.
You don't really get personality glimpses. You don't really get, like, traits.
Yeah.
Whereas Chucky is one of the few franchise killers where he really does have a personality. He has his own sense of humor, and he knows what he likes, and he has dislikes and things that annoy him. And he's very open with whether or not he's pissed off or not, and what is pissing him off. And I think that definitely separates him from a lot of the people on this list.
Yeah, him and Freddy.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they'd be friends if they were in the same universe. I feel
they're
like
both
they
scum.
Would be. Yeah, they are both scum, which is why they would be friends. They both have that humor. They both have the ability to make it a joke, and they also. They both treat their killings like a game. Like, it's very cat and mouse with them. And I like that. I like that it's very, like, ha-ha, I'm gonna get you, and I know I'm gonna get you, but
I'm gonna let you try.
I'm gonna let you try. And I think that's really funny, and it makes it a little more interesting than just your death is inevitable, and you know that from the very beginning, and you never had a chance.
Yeah, they definitely have a sense of humor with it, and they definitely kill because they want to.
Yeah.
They're not killing out of revenge, they're not killing out of anger. Well, they are killing out of anger. And Chucky, is out of revenge.
A little bit out
particularly.
Of revenge. And no, so is Freddy,
yeah.
A little bit.
But for the most part, they're killing people, not people that are necessary for them to kill, they're just kind of killing people that they want to kill along with it.
Because like, even before they were the villains, they were still awful people.
They still enjoyed hurting other people, and that's all it really is that they're enjoying this. And yeah, they have a goal, but they're gonna cause as much damage as they can along the way.
Yeah, and I feel like it's one of those things is they're killing because of what happened to them, but they already enjoyed killing in the first place. They already enjoyed making people miserable in the first place. So it's almost like, well, I'm here now, might as well just fucking
Go off,
I guess. Like, just do what I want, make the best of it, and
yeah, it's very much like they have reasons to be killing, but they would be killing even without those reasons.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if these awful things never happened to them, they would still be doing the same thing that they're doing.
Yeah.
And that's definitely something interesting about those two, but Chucky's wild.
Chucky is a lot.
Oh, yeah.
He is a walking, talking, killing doll. And that's terrifying.
Yeah. And I want to say that unlike a lot of these movies, the Chucky movies have gotten better with time.
They have, yeah. Like, the more that come out, the better they get.
Which is the exact
rare.
Opposite of, like, Friday the 13th or Nightmare on Elm Street or any of the other movies,
yeah.
With few exceptions like the new Halloween movie. For the most part, they get worse over time. Because they start running out of ideas.
Exactly.
But Chucky's has only gotten more and more creative and better written.
Exactly. And nothing's going to compare to the original Child's Play, like, ever.
Obviously.
But yeah. They still have gotten better. The newest Chucky movie was interesting. They're making a TV show out of it. So Hopefully that'll be interesting. Like, I'm interested to see what that's going to be like.
Yeah.
Because if they're making a TV show out of it, that must mean that they have more material. Or hopefully they have more material.
They think they do, at least.
Yeah, they think they do. They think they have something to offer, so I'm here for that, and I'm excited for that. So, everyone should let us know what they think about this new Chucky TV show, because I've heard a lot of mixed responses to the announcement. I don't think there's anything out there about, like, a trailer or anything, but I'm definitely interested to see where it goes, if only just to see where it goes.
Yeah. Fun fact, my oldest brother, he actually owned one of the dolls that the Chucky doll was based off of. The, what were they called? Good Boys? Something like that? I think
they're called Good Boys.
Yeah, he actually owned one of them. And, I'm pretty sure my dad still has it in his shed.
No, that's horrible.
Yeah.
It's awful.
When I found that out, I was like, Mom, why didn't you kill it?
Why didn't you kill it? Yeah, seriously. When that movie came out, you should have killed it.
Yeah. That's what happens when you have someone born in the fucking 80s.
I love Chucky. Great series. So much. And the franchise has gotten better as time has gone by, which is extremely rare, and is completely different from every single one of these pieces. Like, every single one of these franchises we've talked about, other than the newest Halloween. Like,
yeah.
They've all not been able to stand up to the original.
They all either maintain or decline.
Yeah.
And not to mention, Chucky's just has a lot of really good gore. If you're in the mood for something that you just can put on and just watch people get killed and not really have to pay attention, Chucky's great for that.
I have one scene from Chucky in my mind that's been embedded in my mind since as long as I can remember. I don't know which one it's from, and I haven't seen it since. There's this guy sitting there across the table from this girl. And they're talking, and eventually he, like, stops responding, and, like, I'm probably not remembering this exactly right, but I remember him, he stops talking, and somehow she gets over there, and I think she pulls him away from the table, because he's not responding to her, and then he just sees him, like, gutted underneath the table. And as a child, that, like, fucked me up.
Oh, yeah.
I was so shook. And to this day, like, that's the one scene from Chucky that just sticks in my head, and every time I think Chucky, I think of that.
I think of the scene in, I believe, the second movie, maybe the first, can't really remember,
mm-hmm.
where they are trying to get rid of him, and it's a babysitter and a little boy, I think, or an older teenage girl and a little boy.
Yeah.
And they're at, like, a dump. Or a toy making place or something like that.
Yeah, it's a toy factory.
Toy factory, and he gets strapped and burned alive and then still somehow survives and is still after them.
Yeah.
I remember the scene where he's getting conveyed into the, like, oven thing.
Yeah, it's, I don't remember exactly what the machine did, but yeah, he got out and he came after them again.
Yeah.
And they did that stupid thing that people always do in horror movies where they think they killed the killer, and then they pause and sit there for a while. Like, bitch, no! You can do that when you're out of there! When you are 100 miles away from that place and nothing can get you anymore, then you can take a break, and then you can relish in the fact that you are finally okay.
I'd probably be guilty of it for at least a few seconds, sitting there and staring at the body, and just in the sense of, like, are they actually dead?
But that's not what they're doing. Do I need to do more? That's not what they're doing. They're just like, oh, we're finally done. We did it, Billy. We did it.
No, they're fucking stupid.
And then they act like they're surprised that the villain isn't actually dead.
I'd be like Zombieland with that shit, and I'd be like, do I need to double tap?
Oh, yeah. Like, no, I always double tap anyways. Like, if anything is after me, I double tap.
But I mean, like, if I've already double tapped, like, do I need to triple tap?
I'll triple tap, too.
Do I need to quadruple tap? Like,
if that crosses my mind at all, I'll automatically do it.
I'll just be sitting there unloading a clip into it for, like, 10 fucking minutes.
Yeah, he can't come back from that.
But Jason did.
Okay, true. But everyone's not Jason.
True.